Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Yes, they got to go back to school again. But you know what? Some of us don't. Some of us will be gardening today. And and that's why we have the garden line. Mike Wiggins is here. He is our expert of experts on the expert panel. And that song is for all those folks heading back to school. Try that one, sir. See if
okay.
That, there
okay.
He is. Yes. There we go. Sorry we about go. That, y'all. Every once in a while, we'll have a little technical glitch in the studio, but we've got him on the air. We were talking about getting back to school today. A lot of kids went back yesterday. I think the remainder are going back today. So good luck. Whew, I remember how nervous I was when I was first walking back into that school and meeting new kids. It's all very exciting.
It is. It is exciting. I am. How could it be, though, that on August the 11th,
that's right,
that we are going back to school?
I know. I used to remember what days used to go after Labor Day.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's when you should go. It's too hot, especially in Florida.
Oh, exactly.
If anywhere in the world that you shouldn't go back to school in August, it's in Florida, right?
Of course, back in the day, we didn't have air conditioning.
Oh, gee. Yeah, that's true.
So ooh, it was hot.
That's not
it
good.
It was hot.
That's not good. So, how are you, sir?
No, I'm doing very, very well. Real quick, back to the school deal.
Yeah.
Just want to thank all of the folks involved in educating our children. The teachers, the staff, you name it. They do an amazing job. And we want to thank them for that. But also, we need to do our part insofar as being careful driving to work or just driving around town. Not only do you have especially all the little ones out ready to catch the bus, you got the kids walking to school, kids on bicycles. So let's be careful.
Drive slowly.
Drive very, very slowly.
And beware of the buses.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
And of course, that means we've lost a bunch of our audience, Meg, because you know those high schoolers listen to the Garden Line every Tuesday.
That's right.
Or, you know, I get letters all the time saying, oh, Mike, thank you so much for the Garden Line. You know?
Of course you do.
I'm a junior at PHS.
I listen to
you all the time.
There you go. Of course.
Yeah.
Well, we'll miss them, but you know what? They can always listen to the podcast.
On Saturday, can't they?
On Saturday, it comes on again. And you can go to newsradio923.com, click on podcast, click on the Garden Line, and you'll actually be able to hear every podcast that Mike's ever done. So if you ever want to go back and listen to some tips back in the spring or winter or whatever, they're all there, which is kind of neat.
It is kind of fun.
Yeah.
I appreciate y'all doing that.
Okay, if you've got questions from the expert on gardening, Mr. Mike Wiggins is here live in the studio. Just text it on in at 850-437-1620. He's going to be here for an hour, so we got plenty of time to get to your questions and talk about everything that's happening in your lawn world, gardening world, plant world, flower world.
Whatever world. You know, we'll talk about any world. We do need to look to the tropics this time of year.
Yes, sir.
And insofar as gardening is concerned, it's, you know, we need to be very quick about this if you haven't done it or if you need to do it, is get those trees trimmed. And, of course, that means calling a good tree surgeon. We have some great tree surgeons in Pensacola.
That's a very good idea. Do that now.
Yeah. You know, it's like the live oak trees. If you get those tree surgeons to get up in those trees and thin them out so when the big wind comes, the tree foliage doesn't catch the wind like a sail on a sailboat, which will topple the tree. This way the wind goes through it and you're safe. So that's a great thing to do. I looked at the weather report. It looked like there are a few little spots
starting to come off that coast of Africa. That's the key.
Starting to come off, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So in any event, something you may want to think about. And also, of course, think about your hurricane tropical storm plan insofar as gardening is concerned. Your hanging baskets. Be sure your generator's working. Your patio furniture. Can't wait to the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, these things can crop up in the Gulf real quick. So we need to pay attention to that.
Well, and I was looking on the news last night, they had sort of a graph of when it's high season. So we are moving into that now for late August, early September. That's kind of when the storms roll through. Some of our biggest storms have been in October. Ivan and some others. So this is the time to get ready.
I have a a birthday in September.
Oh, you do?
And many a birthday I've been hunkered down.
Oh, no. What is it, September 10th?
No birthday party.
Oh, September 10th? Is that your birthday?
Fourth.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, close enough.
Exactly. So anyway, so we all need to be ready for that. Drive carefully with the kids out there.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready for the storms. In the meantime, we may need to talk about a little gardening here.
Maybe so. Well, the weather certainly is a factor. It's been hot, 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 and yet we've getting these little pop-up thunderstorms everywhere, which dumps quite a bit of rain if you're lucky.
That's right.
What do you recommend in terms of how do you keep your garden going during this kind of sort of erratic weather, really?
Well, and it is the time of year. We've said this 1,000 times on the Garden Line. It is so important to do everything we can to protect our investment, protect what we have planted from the heat if we can. Now, there's a lot of plants that have, you know, just had their better day because
right.
of this heat. And we may need to even look ahead, and I made a few notes here. We may talk about this before the day is over. Getting ready for the fall. It's so many things that we can do once we get into September and October.
Mm-hmm.
And my goodness, it's the middle of August already. So we need to do that. One thing we do need to talk about, though, probably number one, is weed control,
mm-hmm.
what to do and what not to do this time of year.
That'd be helpful.
Very, very important. I got a little note here from Larry Williams. I don't know if the name's familiar, Meg. He's a horticultural agent in Okaloosa County.
Oh, okay.
He wrote a little email, but quite frankly, most of our listeners, this is nothing new, but he says you just have to be careful if you've got summer weeds in your yard, which we probably all do to some extent. This probably is not the time to spray them. It's just too hot.
It's just too hot.
You may have, I'm trying to think of some of the ones you may have in your yard, crabgrass, spurge. We talked about spurge the last time we
mm-hmm.
got together. Florida pusley, dollarweed, doveweed, sandspur. These are all summer weeds that are growing right now. And Larry recommends that we don't spray those. We don't spray them. We probably wait until we get, let me get closer to this microphone.
There you go. All right, there you go. You're
there
good.
We go. Now we're good.
There you go.
Now we're good. We need to wait. Let the winter, let the cold weather take care of these summer weeds, and we need to be worried about the winter weeds that have not even come up yet, of course. Let's wait till the cooler weather, which takes us to winterizer. Some of the experts, as we talked about this last week a little bit,
mm-hmm.
that some of the experts will tell you that we need to put the winterizer fertilizer on our lawns in August.
That seems early to me.
Well, it's even to me, who have been in the business a while. August is a little bit early, but September is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to use, remember the formula we like is that 10, 5, 14. But how that ties into the weeds I just talked about is that as you go and buy your winterizer, you're probably going to find a lot of products that say winterizer fertilizer plus weed killer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Just don't do it because you really could, in my opinion, do some damage. Use the 10-5-14 fertilizer. Now, the secret to that number is the 14. That's potash.
Mm-hmm.
And potash is an element that makes the root system stronger, which makes the grass go through the winter, survive the winter, and come back next spring much stronger. When you put winterizer on your yard, you're not going to notice much.
Right.
Not like springtime where it's just going to bust forth. But it's really going to pay off in the long term. So I would say into September, early September would be fine. Go ahead and do that. But don't do the weed killing because if you remember our schedule on that, Meg, remember we come back in November, which we'll talk about after the break.
All right. This is Pep Talk. If you've got a question for Mike on the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. This is Pep Talk. Welcome back to Pep Talk in the Garden Line. We do this every Tuesday with our gardening expert, Mike Wiggins, is here talking about getting things ready. We're into the fall, sort of, almost end of summer, right, Mike?
Right. We've got a lot of hot weather
ahead. Still, we're not done.
No, we're not even close. But there are some fall things we need to be thinking about, and we'll talk about that a little later. I did want to finish up our discussion of this weed control, because you see all these summer weeds out there, and it's just, you really want to go out and you want to spray them. And if you really wanted to do that, probably in October, when we get back down to the low 80s during the day, you could probably do that. But if we have our normal cold, we always at least get one or two good freezes. Many of these summer weeds, which are annuals, which is like a marigold or a petunia, it's an annual. It only grows 1 year, and then the cold weather kills it.
Right.
Okay. So, but what we need to do is worry about the future weeds, and that's why in November and February, we use our pre-emergence. Remember, we like atrazine is a good one. You can spray it. But what you don't want to do is take that fertilizer plus weed killer and use weed and feed fertilizer, in other words. In other words, on the Garden Line, we do not recommend that ever, because weed control and fertilization are two different things at two different times.
Right.
And that's kind of how we have to approach that. So look to November for putting the weed killer on, the pre-emergence. Wait 90 days, get into February, do it again, and then you're rolling into spring.
So I'm thinking right about now, if you haven't done it before, this is a good time to go where they have all the kids' stuff is on sale. Get yourself a back-to-gardening notebook, like a back-to-school notebook.
And start,
we're in August, and you start with August with Mike's tips, and you just, because I have to take notes, and I can write everything down. And we could do from August to August, and you'd have the whole year on how to best take care of your garden.
There you go.
So I think that's the thing to do. I have an idea. That's what we should do today.
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to get my little gardening book, and I'm going to start taking notes so I know exactly what to do. Because when you say do this in November, right, and it's August, I'm not going to remember in November. So I got to write this stuff down.
Exactly.
If you've got a question for Mike, this is Pep Talk. He's the expert this morning on the Garden Line. 850-437-1620. You can ask him about pretty much anything that has to do with lawns, gardening, plants, flowers, anything. So please text it on in. We'd love to hear from you.
And this is more of a self-help deal. I guess maybe 6 months ago, we looked at some of the things, how gardening improves your health.
Yes, we did.
We talked about that. Well, I got a little note from, an email from somebody called Wendy Rose Gould.
Oh.
She's a writer for a magazine. Nice middle name.
I was just going to say, how appropriate.
And she gave the key takeaways for gardening.
Oh, I like this.
I thought we'd just real quick hit that. You ready for this?
Yes.
First thing she says is gardening supports a longer, healthier life by boosting mood, reducing stress, lowering risk of dementia, and sleep issues.
Interesting.
Thanks to both physical activity and time spent in nature.
Wow. I like that.
And this is the second one. She says, tending to a garden nurtures emotional well-being, offering a sense of pride, self-care, and a deeper connection to the natural world. Wow.
I like that.
Here's the last one. Growing your own plants encourages healthier eating, strengthens the immune system through soil exposure, and helps maintain physical fitness.
Huh.
Yeah, I thought that was well said.
Very nice.
Because as we all know, gardening is the number one hobby in America.
Is it really? I didn't realize that.
No, it really is. Oh, absolutely.
Number one hobby
in America. And it says, gives three reasons as to why it is. It just makes you feel better, makes you healthier. And there is a part of that article, we won't get into the details, where it says it's good for you to get out and get your hands in the dirt.
There's something about that.
From a scientific reason, too, the micro elements that you work with while you're digging in the dirt really do help with overall health.
I love that. That's great.
That's interesting.
Very interesting.
I would never think about that.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll leave that for food for thought, so to speak. And we will be back with Pep Talk and the Garden Line in just a couple minutes. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. And aren't you a Knowles fan?
Oh, only for about 1,000 years.
Okay, well, they just played an ad for you. We're going to be having the Knowles. We'll be on our station.
I'm so excited to have them.
Yes, you know. So just I figured that would make you very happy.
Oh, very, very happy. We're hoping for a good year. We will see. Who does Georgia play?
I'm not sure who our first game is, but we've been ranked fairly high this year, so that's a good thing.
You always do.
Well, we did not always, because I have about 40 years under my belt. Trust me, there were some dark times.
I know what you mean.
I've really enjoyed these last few years, because trust me, there was some dark times in Georgia football. You know, it's fun right now. So
exactly. It's like that back to school. It just seems like it's a little early.
It does.
For football season. Not that I'm objecting.
It's too hot.
It's great.
Yeah.
But my goodness, it just seems so early. But all of my college-bound grandchildren are packing their bags this week and heading, for the most part, heading north.
Such a big day.
Mississippi
first day
State
of college
and Auburn and Florida State. And
wow. You giving them all a send-off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No question about it. Damn. They're all coming by to say goodbye.
Oh.
So they're such good kids, and I'm very proud of them.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of folks doing that this week, going to school for the first time. Mm-hmm. Parents are packing them up, putting them in the dorm, and mom looks around the room and goes, oh, my baby.
I'll never forget when Mary Ellen was a principal at Scenic Heights Elementary School.
Oh.
The real young ones, the kindergartners would come in, and many times their mom would be emotional.
Oh, I bet.
So Mary Ellen put on what she called the boo-hoo breakfast.
Oh.
So when the mom dropped off the kindergartner, she was able to go and kind of relate with other mothers.
Oh, how sweet.
And have a nice breakfast.
Oh, what a great idea.
The boo-hoo breakfast.
The boo-hoo breakfast. That's so sweet.
So anyway, it was kind of fun.
That's awesome.
No doubt about it.
That's great.
But it is the first day of school, and, you know, a lot of schools is going to be, you know, will grow gardens.
True.
They really will. A lot of the elementary schools will have a little spot where they can grow a garden, tomato plants, and pepper plants, and that type of thing. So we encourage that.
Absolutely.
And, maybe we can. I need to do a remote. Maybe we can.
We should get a kindergarten in here to tell us how to do it.
Well, that's a great idea. They probably do a much better job.
Better than me.
Better than me.
Much better than me. I can promise you that.
You're absolutely right.
All right, we've got some texts rolling in. We didn't have enough time to get started on them, so we've got some good topics coming up in the next half hour on the Garden Line, and there's still time for you. So text your question on in at 850-437-1620. You're sticking around, right, Mike?
I wouldn't go anywhere. I love it here.
All right. Well, we love having you here. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. We've got the news coming up in just a minute here. And as soon as the news is over, we'll be back with the Garden Line. So get those texts in, 850-437-1620. Yes, we do. Here we go.
All right, Meg.
Back to school again.
Name that tune. Name the artist.
Oh, okay. I can tell you who the name of the song is. Back to School Again. So that's easy.
That makes sense.
But yeah. I bet you it's a tricky one for who the artist is, because it doesn't sound like who you normally hear them sound like. And by the way, if you just joined us, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and the Garden Line. It's not, you know, Dick Clark's. Top five, but every once in a while we like to have fun with the music. So
right,
okay. So I would never have known who this was. Did you know?
No, I didn't. You know, I even thought the Beatles did a kind of.
That's
back
what he
to
said.
School.
Look for that song by the Beatles.
But I think I'm wrong.
I think it's the same
that.
Era. The song is from. Let's see. Oh, I take that back. No, wait, that's right. I think it's from the 60s, possibly.
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right, well, we'll let the listeners, if you have a guess, 850-437-1620.
Name
Don't
that
be
tune.
Googling it now. Don't be cheating. And in the meantime, we've got some questions in for gardening, so we'll get back to the topic from some of our listeners. First of all, Karen had sent us in, Karen Llewellyn. She's one of our listeners and very involved in the gardening community. Thank you so much for this, Karen. This is so helpful. She says, good morning, Meg and Mike. This is Karen Llewellyn with Pensacola Federation of Garden Clubs. If any of your listeners are interested in learning more about being a garden club member, encourage them to attend a tea we are having on August 20th. So I think that's next week, from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Pensacola Garden Center. That's located at 1850 North 9th Avenue. There will be tea and finger food. And this is kind of neat. All the garden circles will have tables set up to talk to prospective members about what each garden circle participates in. What a great way to get started.
And no question.
I love
about
this.
It. Especially if you're, say, a newcomer.
Right.
To Pensacola.
Somebody like me that has never gardened before.
Time for you to join up.
I know. No, it'd be fun because you get a lot of resources and help, especially if you wanted to just focus on roses or focus on a particular type of thing.
Of course. Absolutely.
Oh, I love this.
And all the organizations do such a great job in Pensacola.
No question.
I'm going to wager, I may be dead wrong here, that Pensacola has got probably as per capita as many garden clubs, if you will, garden clubs, than probably any other city. Because
I think
we
it's
have
great.
So many of them, and they're so active and have some great activities during the year. So, Karen, be sure Karen keeps us informed of what's
yes,
going on
do.
So we can help promote some of these activities, many of which are open to the public.
Right.
And so it might be fun to follow that this year.
So definitely, if you can, stop by. It's going to be August 20th from 1 to 3, and the address again, you can't miss it because there's a big sign, Pensacola Garden Center, 1850 North 9th Avenue. So if you're going north, it's on the right-hand side. So if it's very easy to see, very easy to find on 9th Avenue.
You're right.
Thank you. He's looking at me like, no.
I was going to say, wait a minute. No, you're right.
If you're going north. If you're going south, it's on the left-hand
side. On the left-hand side. All right, we got
that. Okay. All right, now we've got a couple questions, gardening questions coming in. So Lisa had sent us one earlier. And by the way, we were talking about Mike's birthday being in September. And she said, good morning, tell Mike I'm in the same boat about birthdays. I stopped booking camping trips years ago.
Smart.
Which is very smart. But she also had a gardening question, so I want to get to some of those this morning. When can we plant broccoli and cauliflower? Is it too hot still?
Well, that's a great question. That kind of leads us into looking ahead for fall gardening. To answer the question specifically, broccoli, my research here shows September would be the time to do that. And the same for cauliflower. Now, what is my source? Well, it's called the Florida Panhandle Planting Guide.
Oh.
It's put out by IFAS. IFAS stands IFAS Extension Service at the University of Florida. That's the Institute of Food and Agricultural Services. It's a resource that is used by farmers, gardeners, educators. It's an amazing organization. It's a combination of federal, state, and local resources. Our Extension Service is a part of IFAS. And in any event, Google this. If you really are looking for information, let's say, on vegetables.
Right.
And what to plant and when, the Florida Panhandle Planting Guide is online. I assume that's where I got mine. And it has, how many of them here? 40. 40 different vegetables, everything from bush beans to watermelon. When to plant.
The title of it again is the
Florida Panhandle Planting Guide, published by the IFAS Extension, University of Florida.
Excellent. That'd be a great resource.
Now, also, there is a Florida Panhandle Annual Planting Guide.
Okay.
Which takes all your blooming annual plants and does the same thing.
Interesting.
It's divided by month, color-coded to tell you which month you should plant.
That would be so helpful.
And it is helpful. I mean, I use it all the time. I mean, if you ask me, when should you plant, Let's find a weird one here.
Well, we're looking for broccoli and cauliflower.
We got those. There's no doubt about it. When do you want to plant pumpkins?
Pumpkins, okay.
Pumpkins. July.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I think that's something, if you are into vegetable gardening, it's a great resource. And they do a good job. And it's all, if we're going to talk about who does a good job,
mm-hmm.
our extension service here in Escambia County is amazing. Beth Bowles does a wonderful job out there. They, too, have all types of activities that the public can go out and mm-hmm. see what they're up to, what they're doing. Some of that is new research, and you know, we all learn new stuff. And so they really are good. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
Florida Panhandle Planting Guide.
Okay. Well, we've got lots of texts coming in now, so we're going to try to get to all of them. One of them comes from Johnny. He says, I have a question about a Drake elm. The bark is peeling off in large chunks. Should I be concerned?
I think that's what a Drake elm does.
Okay.
I think you're fine. You know what? I never really promoted Drake elms here in Pensacola, but years ago, the city planted some Drake elms down Palafox.
Mm-hmm.
And they were absolutely gorgeous. And one of the things that's so gorgeous about it was the bark.
Right, watching it.
Peely bark. So mm-hmm. so I think you're okay on that. I don't think I would worry a bit about that. It is a great, fast-growing, nice shade tree. It's deciduous, of course, loses its leaves, but still it comes back strong and even better after a good winter of being dormant. So the Drake elm, I think, is a good choice of trees. I think that peely bark is probably okay.
Okay. Thank you so much for sending that in. Got one from Steve from Escambia Bay, one of our regular listeners. Good morning, Steve. I plant my winter garden the first week of October, still working on the document about what worked and what didn't with the ECOA compost over the last couple of years. So he's still working on that, so we can't wait to see that.
Well, we really do want to hear about that, because there are a lot of people that use that material.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, we probably need Meg to have a quick visit with the folks from the ECUA.
That'd be great.
And talk to the person who is in charge of that.
Okay.
And let's see what has been the successes with that and what they should not do with that particular material.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it's something that I think a lot of people want to use. It's inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to find out more about it.
All right. We will get on it. We'll get our research department on that quickly. We're going to take a break. This is Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins and the Garden Line. We'll be back in just a minute. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Mike Wiggins is here at the Garden Line. We're getting lots of questions in, so we're trying to get to them all. So I'm going to get started right away, Mike. Here's another one. I put out 1608 the second week of June. Should I apply another dose of the same fertilizer? If so, when should I do it? Or should I wait and apply winterizer? And if so, when should I apply the winterizer?
Well, that's a great question, because a lot of people want to know that. Number one, I would not put that 1608 on there now. But when you did it in June, you really followed what the experts are saying about waiting in the spring till you get into May or even early June to put on your 1648. So you put that on at exactly the right time. That was really smart. However, I would not put it on again. Now, if we were talking in July,
mm-hmm.
You might want to go ahead and do it, because that St. Augustine does like a mid-season kick, if you will, of nitrogen. But as we approach September, I think we need to concentrate on the winterizer, as we talked about earlier, and go ahead and get that down, say, early September, and then go from there.
So for right now.
Yeah, and save that 1648 for next spring.
Oh, and I should just to say 1608 is what it was. Does that matter? 1608,
you know,
versus 48?
Sometimes I live in the past.
Okay. Just
they used to, the 1608 used to be marketed as a 1648.
Oh, okay.
They found out that the phosphorus in the middle wasn't really that necessary
for
Pensacola lawns. So it's, now it's a zero.
Gotcha.
1608. So
okay.
That's the one we're talking about now.
Yes, okay.
When I say 1648, just chalk it up to an old man.
Remembering. I'm just double checking because I don't know.
No, that was good. That was good. Good for you, Meg. But in any event, yeah, I would certainly concentrate on the winterizer. Now, if you're going to save that fertilizer, sometimes that's hard to do. It'll get absorb moisture. It'll get hard. Mm. If there's any way you can avoid that, then you could probably use it next spring. But otherwise, you may have to buy new stuff.
Okay, so wait on the winterizer then. Is that correct?
Wait until September.
September, okay.
Yeah, wait till September and do the winterizer then, but do not use the 1608 Meg.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Don't use that.
Point.
Okay, very good. Great question. Okay, got another one for you. This one's from Mike. Good morning to you, Mike. I got a cherry tomato plant that's not producing any tomatoes. I planted it back in April. Have any advice for him?
Well,
to make that happen?
Well, I hate to say this, but usually the easiest tomato plant to grow is cherry tomatoes, the small tomatoes. But
Mike just won my heart.
Yeah.
Because I'm the same way. That's an easy one. It'll bloom all kinds of cherries. Oh, and I'll be sitting there staring at it. Nothing's
waiting,
happening.
Yeah, waiting for it. I think at this point,
yes.
And I'm looking for an excuse here.
Mm-hmm.
I think the heat's probably gotten to it.
Oh, that's true.
I really
true.
Do. I think it may just be too hot. Now, be sure you've done everything else right.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure it's in the sun. Obviously, be sure when we had our little drought that you had enough water. If it's in a container, be sure the container is big enough to sustain a fast-growing, tall-growing cherry tomato plant. So check the boxes on all the things that need to be done to make for a successful planting. But if you did all of that and we're still not producing, I think we're just going to have to hit blame it on the heat.
Probably, yeah.
I think that may be it.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. Right. It's been hot this summer.
Oh, yes.
Very hot. Okay, so we were talking a minute ago about Drake Elms, and that was Johnny had asked a question about that, and his response to you was, well, it's better than a popcorn tree. I would kick it every day until I removed it. Okay, and we got a response about the, Mike just responded back about the tomato plant. He said, well, all boxes are checked.
Okay,
so
I think it's the heat, I really do.
Well, Mike, do what I do. There's this great thing. There's a vegetable department in the grocery store, and they have these cute little baskets full of cherry tomatoes.
No, you don't want to do that.
Well, yeah, I do. But he is our expert. Mike is the expert. And surely if he says if you've done everything, that's all you can do. Would it be a late bloom possibly?
Possibly, but I tend to doubt it, but maybe. I think if it hadn't produced all summer, all spring, I think maybe time to start afresh.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I've got a lovely text here. It came in from Vicky. Good morning to you, Vicky. Back in March, I planted what I call my daddy tree, a crepe myrtle in honor of my dad who passed on Father's Day in 2025. Look how much it has grown. It is really beautiful. Oh, my goodness. So she's got a picture of it when it was planted, Mike, and she's standing next to it, and it's grown, like doubled in size. It's growing fast. It looks beautiful. So congratulations, and what a nice honor for your dad.
Well, what a nice honor. And,
yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that, you know, will be there forever. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Crape myrtle is a tree that's very healthy.
It's blooming, too.
I was going to say, it will grow, it will bloom, and I think you'll be so glad you did that. Because
you can
always bring back some memories when you look at that tree. So, good for you.
At the light, right there at 17th and Cervantes, on the right-hand side, there's a house right before, I think the street, I want to say it's maybe Gaston, might be Jackson, but right before that, there's a house that has the most gorgeous, and I've mentioned them before, bright red fuchsia almost colored crepe myrtle.
Is that someone on the right?
Yes.
Heading north?
Yes. Yes. On the right, heading north. Yes. You know which one I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I do.
Oh, I thought of you yesterday. I drove by. I thought, oh, my goodness. Are those crepe myrtles?
Yes. And
okay.
I always admire the landscaping at that house.
Yes, that house. He always decorates for the holidays.
He does a really good job.
But very meticulous. Every bed is gardened and mulched. Right. And it's beautiful.
Oh, it really is pretty. No doubt about it.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break here. This is the Garden Line. We may have a couple minutes left for a few questions. So if you want to text it in, you can do so at 850-437-1620. It's the Garden Line on Pep Talk every Tuesday. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We're here with Mike Wiggins. He's here every week on Tuesdays from 9 to 10. And also, we have a repeat broadcast on Saturday mornings here on the station. So you can always check that out. And if you came in late and you wanted to take some notes, you can go to the podcast, which is on newsradio923.com. Click on podcast, click on the Garden Line, and you can hear today's broadcast a little bit later this afternoon. So, probably helps to put that mic on. I don't know. I need more coffee this morning, clearly.
I hear you.
We've covered a lot of soft.
We have covered just a little. We only have a few minutes left. A couple of recaps here real quick. If you are holding on to that fertilizer for your midsummer application, as we just talked about, don't do it. We're waiting for the winterizer. We are waiting for that.
Okay.
Obviously, this is a real obvious box to check. No pruning on your azaleas.
Ooh.
It's ready to bloom this spring. Don't do it. If you do, you probably won't hurt the plant, but you won't have blooms next spring if you start cutting it way back. So don't do any pruning on your azaleas. Now, I do say this. A lot of the dwarf azaleas will send up little, I call them water shoots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's horticulturally correct or not. If you cut those off, you may cut off a few blooms, but your landscape will look tailored. It will look like it's been maintained correctly, and you'll still get plenty of blooms from the major plant. But you can clip off some of those water shoots. Limestone, we need to talk about that very, very quickly. If you haven't put limestone on your yard and you have St. Augustine grass, if you haven't done it, let's say, in 2 years, you can do two things. One, you can go get a soil test to see if you really need it. Or you can say, if I haven't done it for 2 years, we probably need to go ahead and put the lime on the St. Augustine. Because what that does, St. Augustine doesn't like an acid soil. So we're putting lime on to correct some of that. So there are some things to do. And thanks for listening. And be careful out there. Those kids are on the road.
Okay, no one sent in a guess. I'm going to tell you the answer. The song we played this morning was Back to School Again by the Four Tops.
How could that be? It doesn't sound like it.
I know, but that's who it was. We always try to have fun on the Garden Line. Thanks for all your support and for listening. This is Pep Talk.